This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hashtag no music, no intro. I usually do like my little pause, you know, just let it breathe a little bit, but training camp, man. We have not had an episode, have not recorded an episode since training camp started last Wednesday. I was on vacation. Had an amazing, amazing vacation in Hawaii. Easily some of the best vacation I've ever had in my life. Some of the best moments I've ever had was out there. So I would, anyone who's listening to this podcast, if you have the ability to do it, look up Costco vacations. The price tag of what you would pay for to go to Hawaii may surprise you when you go through Costco vacations. Just look and see how much it is, and if you can afford it, and just try to experience it, because I cannot talk about how amazing that was. Can't talk about it. It was amazing. The being in the fucking ocean, 20, 25 feet snorkeling, saw a sea turtle underwater. I felt like the Discovery shows, bro, like on Discovery, yeah. Watching them, and they have like, you see animals and sea life underwater, bro. Like, I saw that, but like, it was my eyes. It wasn't TV.
That's wild, bro.
Amazing, man.
And to do it with your daughter, man, that was just dope.
We did it with the fam, man. She was a little nervous going, because it's long. It's, I mean, I say long, but it's like a 5-hour, 6-hour plane ride from LAX, and that's all over, bro. Just over it. But we had a great time. We went to a luau, learned a lot about Polynesian culture at the Polynesian Cultural Center. I did want to give shout outs to a couple of people who listen to the podcast, Trace, Ill, I believe Mitch as well, who reached out to me, DM'd me, sent me recommendations of places to eat and go in Hawaii, who are natives in Hawaii, who live in Hawaii. So it just goes to show that Safe Twitter podcast is everywhere, man. Like, the fact that people in Hawaii listen to our podcast is,
that's wild.
Nuts. Nuts, man. Anyway, this is the catch-up episode of everything that has happened in training camp that we haven't had a chance to talk about. We're going to catch you up on it. Sorry I didn't have a chance. There's a 5-hour time difference between Hawaii and Central Time. It just didn't work out. So we weren't able to record while I was gone, but I wanted to get you everyone caught up on all the happenings in training camp. But before I get into training camp, I want to just do rapid fire. We have a lot to talk about with the Saints, so I don't want to spend too much time on anything that's not Saints related tonight. Rapid fire. Debo got extended. DK got extended. The judge arbitration of the Watson case. 6 games, past president, like it's just so much of that. And I know you said in our Discord, like, you don't really have an opinion on it. And I don't think I have an opinion on it either. But my thing I had, the feeling I had the most today is just thinking about it, is that I was super excited to record this episode with you tonight. And I still am. But like, that lingering Deshaun thing just kind of just makes it even as emotionally disconnected we are, we could get pretty excited about upcoming seasons. And that thing just, like, ugh, it just feels gross, man. Like, 6 games.
It does.
And the 6 games may not stand. The NFL may appeal it. Roger Goodell is in a pickle in terms of what he needs to do, because it's like, do we just fucking just say, all right, thanks for your opinion, but we're going to do what we want to do anyway? And suspend him a season, it's weird, man. And it's gross. It's gross. Real gross.
And, you know, I mean, yeah, you should. Like they negotiated with this new CBA to have, like, you know, independent arbitration, have this judge recommend in capital letters, you know, what a suspension should be. But it still comes down to Goodell at the end of the day. And he's the guy that came, when he came into the league, he was the defender of the shield, and, you know, wanted to bring back just wanted to be pretty much the justice, the rule, the law the law and order guy over the NFL. And that's what he's been for the most part. His decisions have been all over the place. You know, that's the only thing. But now you have a point where everybody except Browns fans are in agreement. Like, this dude need more punishment than this. So do it, bro. Like, everybody got your back, bro. Like, it's the one time nobody will be mad at you for giving this dude. Only people that's going to be mad at NFLPA, they'll probably challenge it as they, you know, morally should they know. But, you know, they're the NFLPA. They're a union. They're going to have to rep the player, and they're going to have to fight for the player. I get it. So they're going to have to do what they got to do. But other than that, then let the judge, you know, let it go to federal courts and let them figure it out. Other than that, man, bring the hammer, bro. Like, this is what you like to do. You gave Sean Payton a goddamn year. You gave John Vilma 8 months. I mean, 8 games.
Calvin Ridley got a year
for just, you know, gambling pennies. This is for being an idiot, pretty much. You know, I mean, come on now, man. Like, it's your time. It's your time to shine, right?
Like, get a booth. Oh, no, sorry.
So, I mean, that's my only thought, bro. Other than that, man, I'm just kind of disgusted with the whole thing. I just, like,
that's the perfect word for it. And Michelle Tafoya, not Tafoya, sorry, Michelle Steele of ESPN, like, had took a picture during, like, Brown's training camp and tweeted, like, there's Brown fans saying, we got your back, Deshaun. just like, bro, like, gross, bro. And then, like, the only thing I could think of was, like, bro, we was, like, we wasn't that far away from that being the Saints than this completely being a different podcast, bro.
You would have heard the same thing from Saints fans out there, too.
100%. Oh,
I love you, Sean. We got your back, bro.
Yeah, man. Can't do it. Anyway. I don't want to spend too much time on it because we have spent a lot of time talking about Deshaun Watson. This is the Things Podcast. So let's. What's up, Ryan?
Yo.
I'm just going to say this. I don't want you to get offended. I'm a big dude. You a big dude.
Damn.
And I know sometimes weight loss has been an issue that we both dealt with our entire lives. But I want to tell you about something that I came across about this great new company called Vertamax.
Okay.
Did you know that Vertamax is the leading sports performance and fitness equipment company that's used by half of D1 programs and half of the NFL and NBA teams? We have an NFL podcast.
Hmm.
It's used by professional leagues as well as other teams all around the world. There's the Vertamax platform, and there's a Vertamax Raptor used to help athletes improve their performance on the field for almost 3 decades. That's almost as old as you. I know we pick on him, but did you know that we pick on him in terms of his workouts? But Jameis Winston actually has trained on a Vertamax Raptor, and the King of New Orleans himself, Drew Brees, has trained on a Vertamax platform along with other top NFL and college football pro athletes. I was just scrolling on TikTok. I saw Amari Cooper using a Vertamax machine.
Wow.
We know we have a lot of listeners that have kids. They're in sports. They're in soccer, baseball, football, track and field, you name it. If you're a parent and you want to help your child improve in terms of their sports performance, or maybe you just feel like you just want to get your body right for the summer, and get fit, you need to check out Vertamax. So all you have to do is go to Vertamax.com or follow them on social media at Vertamax. That's Vertimax. Again, that's at Vertimax, Vertamax.com. Look into getting yourself a Vertamax platform, a Vertamax Raptor, and tell me you won't see the improvement. Let's fucking talk about the Saints. The night we recorded an episode was last Tuesday for training camp. We talked about wanting to see Mike Thomas, and I said, if I saw him, bro, I just go home, hug my phone, like in his Saints jersey, lined up in the stands, running around. You want to see him running a slant? Lo and behold, bro, the next day, won't he do it? Won't he, capital H-E, do it? Mike Thomas back, no longer on PUP, practicing with the team. You know, they keep an eye out over him, and, you know, so there are some days where he won't practice during training camp, but today today was first day pads. He was in pads. He was working out. And listen, we don't know what version of Mike Thomas we're gonna get, it's gonna be. But just that first, like, on the field, take away all the jokes, and I tweeted this, take away all the jokes, just the, like, mental anguish and hell he's probably been through. Man. As an athlete does. It made me think of the whole Klay Thompson injury where he came back and then he, like, immediately got, you know, tore his ACL after he then tore his Achilles in the playoffs, and he was going from basketball for, like, 2 years. Like, maybe not to that degree, but, like, Mike Thomas been through that same kind of, like, mental anguish. So, as a fan, just seeing him just be back on the field, I was happy for him to reach that accomplishment for him.
No question. And, you know, seeing him out there, like, running routes, doing what he does, you know, and he looks good, man. Like, I'm not saying he looks 100%, but he, you know, it's not like he's walking out there limping and struggling. So, you know, that gives us a lot of hope. And, you know, seeing his presser, you know, I'm glad they put him out there. You could just tell he's just, like, he just chomping at the bit, bro. Like, he ready. You know, and you're talking about a competitive dude, man. Like, mentally, a dude that just wants to compete and play football. You know, so he's been dealing with this for 2 years now, and he finally has a chance. And he's ready to show and prove, bro. He probably got, like, 50 tweets in his drafts just ready to fly. Like, he's ready, bro. When he scored that first touchdown, boy, I'm telling you, man. I wouldn't want to be nowhere around me. For real.
Yeah, I think you said, like, he's ready, because all doing that press you're talking about, he just, you know, just, I think it was Jeff Duncan just asking him questions that we were like, no, he's going, oh, he's talking that shit.
He said, man, you be writing that bullshit, man. Like, you know, he was on it, man. Like, he, you know, Mike Thomas read everything. Everything that's said about him. Everything that a lot has been said about him. I know he didn't watch his name get lower and lower on the best wide receiver list to the point where it's not even on the list anymore, you know. So he ready, bro. So I just hope his health agrees with his mental state, you know, because, one, we need it. And, two, I just want to see him succeed, man. I want to see the dude, you know, I want to see him just be a great player. He's a great player, bro.
Yeah, I just want to see that. And we don't know if we're getting that great elite top three wide receiver in the league, Mike Thomas, back. But if he could be top 10, like,
oh, man,
even that would be wild. So I would highly doubt we see him at all in the preseason. And we shouldn't, honestly. Like, he should not play a game of preseason. Like if he's able to be in, like, the black and gold scrimmage, I think that's enough. In my opinion, like, you don't need to see no more.
I agree. I don't want to see him in the preseason.
No.
At all. I'm sure he might want to play, you know, but nah, we don't need it.
Nope. We don't. So we got Mike Thomas back. Now, initially, Pete Warner was on the NFI non-football illness list. And then he got, as of today, he's off of it. He was practicing, back to doing fine. Juwan Johnson was practicing today after spending some time off to the side. What's going on with Mark 2004, bro?
Man, I don't get it. I mean, hey, I guess it's just conditioning, I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's like, I'm not trying to minimize losing a piece of your pinky finger. Like,
right. No, absolutely not.
That shit would, like, have me with PTSD. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even lie. But I'm like, man. It's like, What is keeping you off the field right now? I just want to know.
I need to know, man. I need to know. Like, do you know how hype we could be in theory? Because it sounds like, you know, we talked a lot of shit about this dude on this pod, bro. Justifiable at the time. And we need to see it in the game. But it sounds like Peyton Turner having himself training camp, bro.
Hey, man, I mean, look, he was injured most of the training camp last year. So I just hope he stays healthy and just get to work in, bro. Like, I just want to see him work, learn. You know, it seems like he has the right attitude. Every time I watch him, he's out there competing hard. That alone, like, he has the athletic ability, so that alone is going to take him somewhere. So I just want to keep seeing him, you know, progress as, you know, as all the Saints players say, just get a little better every day. I really want to see that. I mean, you know, the opportunity is there, man. Like, we need D linemen. We need pass rushers.
And I just feel like as a Saints fan, especially, you know, as soon as he was drafted, like, we can't have two at the same time. Like, we can't have a healthy Marcus Davenport and a healthy Peyton Turner at the same time, bro. The universe won't allow it. They just won't.
It's weird, man.
It's so weird, man. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Cause if Peyton Turner, I won't say is a player, but if he's even just decent, right? Like, you don't got to come in and be like a world beater, but like, if you're a decent edge rusher and what Marcus Davenport is healthy and if in shape can bring, and you got Cam Jordan, like, and this, I mean, this is a topic I had written down. We'll get to it as an overview later. This safety, so I'm gonna play this out loud. Say it out loud. I know there's weaknesses in the interior of the D line. This might be the best Saints defense of all time, bro.
They really have an opportunity to be the best defense in the league.
Yes.
This year. Like, they really have that opportunity, man.
It's wild. Like, if you just read the overarching theme of training camp, almost a weekend training camp, is that this defense that has been put together, and it makes a lot of sense in retrospect why you would just promote Dennis Allen to head coach. But this defense, the way it was put together, is so insanely talented, and it has been stifling for most of an early part of training camp for about a week. It's just been stifling, bro. And it's just a noticeable thing if you read the reports. I want to give a big shout out to my dude, John Hendricks. I read all of his training camp reports because, you know, I was vacationing, bro. Like, I wasn't trying to, like.
Man, but that's all you need. Clutch, concise, just show these little clips. I'm proud of John, man. Like, I've followed John.
Talk about it, man.
A long time. Like, on Twitter, started out as just a Saints fan, just like everybody else. Built himself up, writing free for little blogs. It's coming up, building. We got to hang out with him at the Senior Bowl, you know, had some breakfast with him. And, you know, just to see how he's grown into, like, a legit Saints beat writer, man, and really good. I'm really proud of the guy, man. I want to see him, like, go as far as possible. So I enjoy reading his, like, training camp coverage because it's just, boom, I read it and I got everything I need. Like, it's no BS That's about it. It's just boom, 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 boom. Everything I need to know. So check him out, man. It's, you know, Sports Illustrated, John Hendricks. Y'all know him.
Yeah, yeah. If you listen to this podcast, you for sure know soothsayer John Hendricks. So shout out to John for real, though. But just I mean, he's not the only, but like, he's like my go-to when I don't have time during the day. Right. But the defense has been absolutely stifling most of training camp. And if they could just get a healthy Marcus Davenport and a healthy Peyton Turner, like, going at the same time, bro, just sprinkle that on top of it.
Right, that would take away my hesitation of saying they could be the best defense. Like, you give me that, I'm hitting the table. They're like, we're going to be the best defense in the league.
Best defense in the league could potentially be one of, like, a top 15, top 20 defense all time. Like, that's what, that's the talent level of the defense. And I can't say that. We're talking about the DNs. Gotta talk about don't bats me, bro. Don't give me that shot.
Put some respect on this man's name, man. Throw me out, Debo. Man.
Everything you read about him, like clips, everything. Like, he has taken his game against early in training camp. But sometimes we say training camp doesn't mean things, blah, blah, blah. But I will say this. Especially for a rookie player, when they play in their rookie season, you have a snapshot of how they played and what they are as a player, right? Right. But then when training, then year two comes around and the reports you're reading just consistently, PBU, pass breakup, the Debo where he needed to be, great coverage. It's like he has shown what he could do last year. It seems like he's even improved upon that. And I'm saying it right now, bro. Fight's over. There is no competition for CB2. It's over. Done.
And we talked about it. It was like, look, Saints brought in Alante Taylor. You got Roby. You know, they basically told you, like, look, CB2 ain't written in pen. It's written in pencil. And he saw that, and he said, no, it's written in pen. You know, and it was up to him. And I love seeing that. I love when a player comes in and says, I'm taking it. I'm not going to let you give it to me. I'm going to take it. So, you know, he's been exceptional. I've watched him closely. And, man, the coverage just been just stifling, bro. Just not giving you nothing, man. I'm like, damn, bro. Like, let the offense get a little something. I'm trying to see some offense, you know. Trying to see Chris Olave do a little something, man. Damn.
Said Chris Olave ain't got the antibodies. I do. Lock in, bro. And here, man,
the pandemic over, baby.
And another thing in regards to him, if he's taking that step throughout Marshawn's career, he's missed games, got dinged up here and there. One game, two games, three games. And then you talked about it here and there. Now, if Marshawn, and we're not saying we want Marshawn to go down, but if Marshawn goes down, then you maybe, you know, you got a Debo, you got Alante Taylor, you got Debo, you got Roby. You don't feel like the Titanic just hit an iceberg, here comes the fucking water. We just take it all in the water.
Right, because usually if Marshawn's out, it's like a deep dive into the CB2, and then it just throws everything off because CB2 is not CB1. Then the next guy is even worse. You got PJ Williams out there. Playing card, it just throws everything out the window. But now, you know, knock on wood, doesn't happen. But you know, Lattimore miss. You still got Paulson the Debo, and you got Roby, and you got Chauncey Gardner Johnson, and you got I forgot the kid's name who been balling out in camp. But anyway,
he's on my list, Justin Evans.
You got players, man. You got players that can make something happen.
You do, man. And we're talking about the defense. I've seen a couple of clips. I've seen the CD pick six off Jameis where he just undercuts it. There's a play that PJ fucking Williams made that Marquez Callaway, like, he caught it and PJ kind of just like bah! Just knocked the ball out of his hand and just picked it up and ran. This defense is staggeringly good. My two concerns before we see them play a preseason game or a game is I alluded to it earlier. Interior of the defensive line kind of leaves a lot, you know, little to be desired, but it is what it is. You can't have stacked positions like all on your level of defense. At some point, you got to have be a little thin. Like, the Rams don't invest in linebackers. Like, they just don't. They just always have just crap linebackers, but the rest of their defense is able to overcome it because they're stacked everywhere else. But, so, defensive lines is the first concern. The second concern is that for this defense to be truly elite, I'm talking elite, elite, top of the level elite. We already talked about the Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport thing. But do we need to get Mulder and Scully on this case for Tyrann Mathieu, bro? Because that's my second Okay, so
hey, be careful, bro. Saints fans don't want to hear you talk about that shit. They don't want you to talk about it, man.
They don't want to hear us talk about like a star safety, hometown player that they
ain't got family issues. Leave him alone. Let him be. It's on my radar. Like, I don't care what y'all say. That shit on my radar. I don't know what's going on. Look, family issues or not. Look, when I think about it, okay, people say family issues. Okay. Then I think, what are the family issues? Did your mother, you know, someone close in your family, mother or father pass? I don't think so, man. Like 20% of the city is related to Tyrann Mathieu. Like, I would have known that. You know, having a baby, possibly, just keep it low key. So it's like what would cause you to miss a week and a half of your first season with the new team? Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. So it just caused me to question things. Like, what is going on? I have no inside knowledge at all. No inside knowledge. Nick Underhill reported that he should be back Monday. It's Monday. He wasn't there. I don't know. Like, I just don't know what to think. Like, people keep telling me, oh, man, stop starting stuff. He just got family issues. What does that mean? Like, that sounds like something I tell a job. I tell my job all the time. Like, oh, no. You know, the family issues, I'm going to take the day off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? And then, you know, the Saints, you know, DA is like, look, we're giving him the time to deal with what he needs to deal with. It's like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? Now, you know, maybe it's not my business. Maybe it's just not my business. And that's fine.
It may not be, but we wouldn't be doing our job, quote unquote, as good podcasting. We didn't talk about it on the Saints Twitter podcast. Because wondering minds want to know. Like, and I have it written down as a note here in my notes, Ryan. Justin Evans, revelation. Because if they didn't, like, take a little flyer, a little cheap deal on this second-round safety that they just kind of picked from, you know, the Heat that has been out of football for 2 years – I'm not comparing Justin Evans as a player to Tyrann Mathieu. I'm just saying, just from a standpoint, like, you, it kind of saves the defense, if I'm being honest, bro. Because if I have it, like, also written down, I think Justin Evans is a lock to make the team, the 53, bro. He has to be.
Yeah.
He has to be. And, bro, if Tyrann comes back and he just, you know, goes on business as usual, then you got Justin Evans as a third safety and PJ, and you could be interchangeable with them. That's great. But if not, and I'm not trying to start up shit. I'm not trying to, you know, start anything. I'm just saying it's peculiar. It's peculiar, bro. It's weird.
It is, man.
It's weird.
It is very weird. And, you know, I mean, I guess I don't have, you know, much to say about it after that. It's just, I mean, you just can't help but sit back and wonder what's going on. You know, I mean,
should we talk about the whole thing? Ralph maybe said on, like, and again, I've had Ralph blocked for fucking years now. But in our Discord, you know, someone said that Ralph had said on Twitter that he removed all of his Saints related things on Instagram.
And it was pretty much everything. Like, it, you can say he removed Saints related things, but he pretty much deleted everything going back to May, like, regardless of what it was. Whatever that means. Like,
look, weird, bro. It's weird.
Weird. Like, you can say, that mean nothing, but, like, look, Kyler Murray did the same thing before he started his whole thing with the contract, you know, a couple of months ago. Like, players do that. Like, so I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do. Maybe he just, you know, he's revamping his IG. I don't know, bro. Like, that's the whole problem. We don't know. And we are in the business of knowing everything that's going on in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? And just the fact that nobody has any kind of scuttlebutt is just weird, bro. Like, nobody got even rumors. I saw Tyrann in the Bahamas. Nothing, bro. I feel better. I feel fine. I'm like, man, I just saw Tyrann in the Bahamas, man, chilling with his old lady. I'd be like, okay, cool. He's just taking a little break. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not hearing nothing, man. Just ghosts. And this was a dude that was like, you know, always on Twitter, always on IG.
Always.
So honestly, besides the football, I just hope he's good. Like, I hope he's
right, absolutely,
placed mentally, and you know, take care of himself. You know, I just hope everything just good with him. Like, on a personal level, personal level. I like. You know, and secondly, after, I hope he's good to come back to the Saints, because I want to play for the Saints. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see why it's such a, I'm a bad person because I feel like that. Like, it's like people, Saints man has been tripping, bro. Like, I'm like, why are y'all tripping about this? It's because I want to know where my dude at. That's
all. Really? Like, I haven't been on Twitter a whole bunch, yeah, but man, like, is that a thing? Like, people are like, just like, bro, it's not.
Every time somebody get my mentions, man, somebody follow behind, like, oh, they said he got family issues. Why can't y'all just let him be? Like, what are you talking about, man? Like, I just want to know if he good, man. I just want to make sure Tyrann Matthews is a part of the Saints this season, man. That's what I'm worried about.
We might have to reach out to Sarah Koenig, bro.
Hey. Get on it.
That it's weird, it's peculiar, and like I said, it could keep, like, I'm not saying that him not being on the team, if this like lingers long term, would stop the team from being a great defense. I think the defense is set up to be a great defense whether he's on the team or not. But in terms of like that upper echelon of just absolutely ferocious defense and just, you know, just imposing their will, you know, interceptions, can get ran back for like pick sixes at any time. Like, he's that type of player and that spark. And like I said, man, like, shout out to the Saints for signing Justin Evans. I don't think they signed him with this in mind, like at all. But speaking of Justin Evans, I know you you put it in our Discord. You just like, you know, people talk about like his range and it was a smart move, man. It's a smart move. And if you
he was a second round pick, man. He's a second round pick.
He was drafted a few picks after Marcus Williams.
Right. So it's like the dude probably he has ability. He just had some like horrible injuries. Horrible. But if he's healthy and can stay healthy, man, like that's a nice little signing, man. Like, those are the ones that really, like, impact a team if you can make those signs. Even if he's not a starter, just depth.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so I feel like we talked about the defense a long time. Let's switch over to the other side of football. Special teams. Just kidding. But not a little – just kidding. One of my burning questions when we did that episode was Will Lutz. Was Big Nut Lutz back? Every indication in training camp, bruh, booming 51 yards, no problem. Probably could have went 56 yards. You know, he was 7 for 7. And it seems like a minute, small thing, but, like, we saw it last season. Like, you said it perfectly, bro. Like, after a touchdown, we're like, oh, we don't get this extra point. And I was like, oh, nope, didn't get it. Nope, missed it. Just having like that comfort back, or even like a 40-yard field goal, like when Lutz was in his zone, bro, I was like, those no brainers, like, oh, boom, boom. So it sounds like that element of special teams is coming back, and that could be a huge thing, especially with a team. That is heavily built to be successful defensively.
Absolutely. And especially when you consider, you know, the return game, man. You know, they got Esau Watson, and they got the kid, what's his name? Rashid. Rashid something. And from what I understand, he got some pop with him, too. So I think, you know, Man, special teams going to be crucial. And you know, with this whole thing going on with Dante Hardy, you know, they're going to need some guys, man, that can return, because we don't know if Hardy is going to be in a long-term, you know, long-term equation, man. So it's interesting, bro. Like, but having the Lutz back is, like, you got to say, if Lutz was healthy and good last year, bro, Saints would have been in the playoffs.
That simple.
That simple, bro. Like, he was just not having him and sending that, like, they had some of the worst kickers. The worst kickers I've ever seen. To where it was like, are we going to make this extra point? Like, extra points.
That was real.
And we didn't make a lot of them. It was like, oh, like, you get James to throw a touchdown. Like, hell yeah, James threw a touchdown. And,
yep.
This extra point. Like, couldn't even enjoy your touchdowns, bro. Like,
so that's him being back. If he is back, hopefully he is, will be a factor. Sounds like Blake Gillikin just picking up where he left off, bro. Just booming him, just hitting inside the five. Also crucial. But okay, let's flip it over. Talk about offense. What is something offensively that's, you know, happening or being reported on that's caught your eye?
I haven't heard a lot of Cesar Ruiz. And I think that's good.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that's good. It's not, you know, I did see where Doug Marrone was spending a lot of time with them, which is a great thing. Like, look, man, we made more jokes about Cesar Ruiz than anybody. But, man, like, if he can be an average player, just an average starting NFL guard, that would be huge for this team. Huge. So I'm rooting for that. One other thing that stood out to me is Adam Trautman, baby.
Talk about it.
Adam Trautman catching everything, getting targeted a lot. Every time he gets targeted, he's catching it. He's, you know, he's getting open. He's running, getting yak.
We finally gonna get the big fish, bro. We gonna get the big fish.
I don't know, but I want to see it. Like you said in the Discord, man. Like, rooting for the dude. Like, we joke about him. We want him to be great, man. Like, the Saints really need some good tight end production, and if he can be that guy, like, we drafted for him. And look, man. Like, I remember after we drafted him, I went and watched him at Dayton. And the dude was, like, the number one weapon for that team. Like, he was the one. So he has that ability. I know it's Dayton, but, you know, he has ability. He can run. But he just has to catch and be consistent, run good routes, play physical in the run game, show someone to want to. And he'll be fine, man. So, you know, I think, you know, just looking at his presser and stuff, it sounds like he knows what he needs to do to be great. And to be more involved in this offense, spent a lot of time with Jameis, you know, off the field, working out with him and stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully that comes to fruition. Hopefully there's not like another training camp ghost where we just like, oh, he's great in training camp, and then come regular season.
Hopefully not, man. We didn't talk about because he's gone, or not gone, but he's not, he hasn't been at training camp. I'll talk about Taysom Hill in a little bit, but it's needed, man. Like in this offense, the tight end position, you know, to have a decent good starter is so important. We've saw glimpses of how DA is doing things differently, the team addressing the fans on the microphone at training camp, being a little more forthcoming about injuries, which was like, that was like just jarring. I was like, what? He said the injury thing? Like, that loud?
And it ain't hard. Like, it's like, yeah, you just, you know. Just say it, man. It's just, like, okay.
So, like, the whole thing regarding Taysom Hill, who was not on PUP and was practicing, is that he said, you know, Dennis Allen reported that he got hit in the ribs, was it like last Thursday or last Friday, whichever day it was. And, you know, he hasn't been back at practice since. But, so that's led to Adam Trautman getting a lot of time in, and he's making plays, man. And we just, I just want to see it carry over to like preseason, carry over to the regular season. Just, you know, just keep it up.
Yeah.
We had the Chris Olave day, I guess I could say, is where he, you know, one of the days last week, I think it was Friday,
yeah,
where he was just the star of the day on offense. And, you know, I watched some of his routes and training camp and him, you know, just beating cornerbacks at the line of scrimmage. And I go back to how I thought about him as a player even before he was drafted by the Saints, and it just was just so surprising to me how like underrated he was, like, by the draft community. Yeah. I was like, this man is like wide receiver two. And it, to me, it wasn't even close. I know there was like Garrett Wilson stands and Drake London stands after Jameson Williams. I'm just like, no, like he was such an easy evaluation and all the things. Oh, he, you know, he gets too open. Like, did Ross Tucker say that? Oh, he, like, just dumb things. And he's going to do just fine in the Saints offense, bro. He is going to do just fine.
I have no question about it.
None at all. But seeing that 60-yarder, which I don't know, it seemed, speaking of, like, we talked about on the podcast, bro, it's going to be some miscommunications early in the season, bro. Get him out in training camp. Let me just say that, though. Get him out in training camp first.
Yeah, please.
But just seeing him just screaming down that left sideline, bro. He just threw his hand up. Jameis threw that bitch down there, bro. I was like,
hey, and say what you want about Jameis, he gonna hit them
easy. You can say a lot of things about his short game, his intermediate game, but that long ball,
he gonna hit that thing.
he ain't missing them bitches. But I'm glad you brought him up. Glad you brought Jameis up. You worried about Jameis, bro?
I'm not worried, man, because I know who Jameis is, man. we're not getting a new Jameis. We getting the old Jameis. The only thing I will say about Jameis that's changed, man, like, the dude really has approached this job as, like, he's taking it 100% seriously. Like, he really is, man. Like, I saw pundit players talk about what he put together when he went out to Miami, and they had their own little, like, Jameis really set up everything. He set up the hotels, set up where they're going to work at, where they're going to eat at, where they're going to meet at, everything. He set up everything up, say, all y'all got to do is show up, y'all come, and we're going to get it together. And that's what they did. They went to practice, you know, worked out, and, you know, bonded. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's leadership right there. To me, that shows a lot. He's really taking on that leadership role. Every player talks highly of him. I think that goes a long way. It's kind of unmeasurable, but it goes a long way with, you know, as far as like just the camaraderie and the morale of a team around a quarterback. So I think that's a real positive. As far as him and his ability, you know, he's talked about it a bunch, about working on his short and intermediate game. And that's always been a struggle with him, man. Like, it's always been kind of hit or miss. It's not like he's bad at it, but it's just a little inconsistent. And he leaves you wanting as far as staying ahead of the chains.
Yep.
The kind of bread and butter, meat and potatoes of the offense, you know, especially the Saints offense. Just the stuff they kind of expect you to do when the defense is playing soft, or, you know, when certain matchups pop up. You know, just boom, get those 4 yards, get those 6 yards, boom, boom, boom. He, you know, we saw last year, he struggles with that. And he's getting better at it. He's worked hard on it. Mark Ingram and, you know, Mark Ingram talked about it, how he's, you know, calling them up more and more to get them, get to work on the routes with them and stuff like that, with not just touchdowns, but running back routes out the backfield, stuff like that. So I think he's going to improve at it, but at the same time, we got to understand that just like he's like reverse Drew Brees. Like, Drew Brees was immaculate in that game. Like, he was perfect. Where, you know, Jameis, it's not going to be perfect in that area, but he's also going to give you some of those beautiful, you know, 45-yard touchdowns, 50-yard, 60-yard touchdowns that we probably didn't get from Drew all the time. You know what I'm saying? So it's just going to be one of the things that just, you got to work through. But I think he's going to get better at it. But I'm not worried about him. But it's just something to keep an eye on as far as, you know, like just to kind of measure, as a measuring stick to kind of see, can he improve in this area?
I'm not worried either. I think you articulated that very well. I'm not buying the whole, like there's a quarterback competition between Jameis and Andy Dalton.
Bobby Abel been hitting it, man. Bobby said, man, if you didn't know nothing and you just came in and watched the practices, you say Dalton was the starter. That's what he said. I don't know if he just hated or not. You know Bobby. Bobby be on that saw, Bobby, then hit the henny, Bobby.
I'm not buying it, but Jameis is gonna Jameis is the best word I could just describe.
Right.
Like Jameis is gonna Jameis. Like even the interceptions, and again, it's training camp, so you know, depend on how much you want to weigh them. But like I saw him like throw that ball that got picked off by City Deuce, and I was just like. Like yeah, the receiver probably should have like worked more back toward the ball, or whatever.
But yeah, but it was like that was a bad ball.
It's a bad ball,
and that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean about Jameis. Like he's gonna give you a couple bad balls a game, man. Where it's like low, or it's gonna just be off. It's just like that's just part of the game, man. Like you know, you don't have a like man. Like before Drew Brees started declining, like. That ball didn't hit the ground. Like at practice, like it was just darts, perfect, accurate. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, so you just can't expect that from Jameis. But what you do want is, you know, you want good accuracy, you want consistency, leadership, you want somebody that can drive the ball, that can attack any part of the field, read defenses. Jameis can give you all of that.
Yes.
You
know? Yes. He can. Without question. I also wanted to bring up and I what's going on with Landon Young? Like what's the plan there?
Talk about it.
I wish I knew because it seems like he's just getting an inordinate amount of snaps. At right tackle, and it seems like he's doing really well there. But Ryan Ramczyk just got a contract extension last season, and it sounds like when like it's time to go in the team period, you know, Ramczyk will be out with the one. But it's just on my radar because I'm like, what is the plan with him as a player? You already got a competition at left tackle that we're going to talk about between Hurst and Trevor Penning, but at right tackle, there's not a competition. And Ryan Ramczyk, he did his presser. He looked healthy. He looked refreshed. Like he looked like he's lost some weight. Got cut a little bit. And I'm just trying. I don't know what the Landon Young plan is, bro. But like I just keep seeing his name. He's at right tackle. He's at right tackle. And part of me is like, because I thought that was going to be a perfect player that you would throw into the competition at right guard against Ruiz. But as I knew they would. They ain't giving him no competition. So, like, I'm lost, man. It's one of those, if we still had the little, I mean, we didn't have him on this episode, but back when I used to do podcasts with Nick and I used to have sound effects, bro, I played a little fucking X-Files theme right now, bro.
I don't know, man. I guess they just, you know, they are developing him as depth for Ramczyk, man, you know. It's weird. They seem like they're building depth at everywhere except guard. Like
that's what I'm saying.
Because you know, from what I've been hearing, Nick Martin, the center, he's been looking good too. You know, as far as just like a solid center. And I know you talked about him some in our last podcast. So you know, that's good depth behind Eric McCoy. You got Pinnick, and we're gonna talk about Hurst. But like Pete and Reese feel like they solidified, bro.
Just it's weird, man. It's weird.
Greenwich, is he a tackle or guard? I can't remember.
It's tackle.
Okay. I saw him getting worked by Tavarius Street.
Work, right.
I was like, man, he got work. Like, just throw him.
Get off me.
Which is another player, Street. I mean, I know we on offense, but Street, like, man, that's one of them little kind of underrated little signings that could be, you know, no, he's not going to be like a plus starter or something, but, man, that's somebody that can come in and get you some good snaps.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But look, the Landon Young thing just on my radar because is it just good depth? Is like, I know Ramchek got an injury history. Like I don't know, man. It's on my radar. Just stick it out to me. But I did bring it up. Let's talk about the battle that's going on. Left tackle, rookie Trevor Penning drafted 20th overall. Right, 19th overall. Excuse me. And then you got hashtag James put him in a hearse. Today was the first day of pads. There was a scuffle between Trevor Penning and Peyton Turner, which I was kind of happy to see. I was like, oh, okay, Peyton Turner can do something besides smile. Like, get in there, nigga. Ugh, get nasty. It seems like Trevor Penning's training camp hasn't gone off to the best of starts. Does that surprise you?
I don't know. To me, like, this training camp is going about what I expected. You know, he's a guy that needs to work on technique. You know, his days are going to be in days like this with the pads on. He had some good snaps today. He had some bad snaps. So one rep against Peyton Turner, and he just bent Peyton Turner back, man.
Bent
them back.
That was the one they got into the scuffle about.
Yeah. That's all known where he just got beat. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is going to be – that's going to be the Trevor experience right now. You know, he's trying to figure out how to play left tackle in the NFL, which is hard. Look, I mean, Teron Armstead struggled his first year when they put him in the starting lineup. You know, I mean, it just takes time. You know, and even, you know, D.A. said Hurst is the starter. He's the starter right now. You know, it's up to Penick to win that job. And he might not win it. And that's fine. Like, if he doesn't win it this year, that's okay. I'm just not really worried about Penning, man, because I don't know. It's like certain type of players you worry about, you know. Somebody like him, man, he has the physical ability, he has the physical attitude. I watched his presser today. I think he has the right mindset. So I think he's gonna be fine, man, you know, but you know, is that a left tackle? I don't know. You know, maybe some things change down the line. But I think he can play left tackle eventually. It's just going to take some work, bro. It's going to take really technique. You got to try to take that aggression and kind of fine-tune it and strength to where you could use it to get your opponents, you know, not to love. So right now, the way he uses it, his opponents use it against him.
Yes.
You know, so it's just going to take time and just practice, man. I can't wait to see him in the preseason. I'm sure he's going to get a ton of snaps.
Yes, and he'll likely be going against – and there may be a time where he's going against, like, I don't think they'll throw him out there again, you know, first team against O-line, but they might, bro. They might.
I would.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would too. He's not a player that I worry about right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there were a lot of, you know, call them what you will, warning signs, what have you, of like maybe some, you know, his inconsistencies as a draft prospect. But I think he's gone to the right team because if he had went to another team, he probably would have to like be the left tackle like right now, like starting off like week one. And when rookies and players get put in a position where they're not ready to be in and they are not good, like that just, it's hard to recover from that, man. It's just hard to recover. Now, like, you know, he may not start all season. And I said it a couple of times, like, he's not going to be a starter week one. I do not see it. Like it would have to be a drastic turnaround between now and like mid-September for him to be the starter week one, and that's okay. Like, that's okay. So he's not like, it's not a big storyline that I'm like worried about. I do think with Doug Marrone and good coaching, I think he's going to be okay. Like you said too, though, it's going to be really interesting to see him in the preseason. He's going to be one of those players that I'm really hyper-focused watching. I don't really watch offensive linemen play when I watch football because it's just boring as shit. Right. But he's going to be something that I'm going to intently be watching when preseason. Bro, preseason's next weekend, bro.
Yes, Lord.
We having the first Saints live stream on the preseason game. They're going against the Texans. If you're out of, like, the area, meaning, like, if you're out, like, if you're in California, do what I did. You can purchase NFL Plus. It's $5.99 for, like the basic one and $9.99 for, like, the premium one. You can watch all the preseason games if it's not in your area. So,
man, that's dope.
Yeah.
I tried to get it the other day, but, like, every time I tried to buy it, I don't know. Something's wrong with the app or something, man. So, I was like,
oh, I didn't do it through the app. I did it through, like, actualNFL.com.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if you're a Patreon, if the Discord's already set up, the channel and the Discord's already set up, the link, the Zoom link's already been posted. It's pinned in that channel. We will be recording Saturday. I think, games on Saturday. We'll be recording. It's the 13th, right? Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be recording on Saturday on Zoom. And at the same time as we're having our Zoom thing, that's going to be live streamed to the hashtag Saints Twitter podcast. It'll be fun, man. It's going to be fun. Like,
yes.
It'll be also a good test run to see how it's going to go in the regular season. Because I know what's going to – I could already envision there's going to be a lot of different delayed reactions to people when the regular season comes across. Because everyone's – like, people who actually are getting the game on cable or on their – oh, not cable, but, like, on their local TV, on a local channel compared to someone like me who may be watching, like, you know, Sunday Ticket, different reactions, bro. Going to be a delay, like a 10-15-second delay. But if you want to be in – the live stream, you want to join us in that Zoom, please become a Patreon so you have access to it. As the season gets closer, and it's getting closer, I'm going to start ramping up that get to a 200 Patreons. We're still about 75-ish, 76-ish away.
Been 75 away long time.
Long time, bro. It was the off-season, though, bro. It was the off-season. I was being lenient, but now with, like, more football podcasts, like, intensely football, Saints-related, Saints news, training camp, I'm expecting to hopefully see that number go up before the regular season. That's the goal. The last thing I wanted to ask you before we start, you know, before you wrap up this episode, give me your starting five. Or not starting five. Sorry, that's terrible. Not starting five. Give me your five receivers on the depth chart that make the team on the Saints. I want to hear them right now.
Five.
Off the cuff, Buck. Off the cuff, bro.
Without even looking, Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, as two. Okay.
Chris Olave, three.
So Chris Olave, three, yeah. Ooh, five,
bro.
Deontay Hardy.
Okay. I'm at five. We're locked up so far. Let's see if we're gonna close it out.
I got one more.
Got one more, bro.
Marquez Callaway.
That's my five, bro.
Man, that's tough, though, man.
It's hard, bro.
Traquan Smith, gone.
Gone. Gone.
Kirk Merritt, man, he been looking good.
Good, bro. He was looking good in the OTAs, too. Good. Yeah, bro. I'm just saying.
They might have to carry six, bro.
We might have to. Are we in agreement that we don't think Traquan making the team?
I'm not in agreement. I don't know, bro. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't heard much about him this offseason. I still think he gives you some kind of value, but it's like, how much value over who?
Correct. And then we didn't really talk about this with the whole Taron thing. But like, what if he doesn't come back?
Let's not go there. We ain't gonna go there.
I'm not brother, but I'm just saying, like, do you leave a roster spot open for the fact?
I don't know, man. I ain't gonna go there. I'm not gonna go there.
Nah, we're not gonna do that.
If he misses another 2 weeks or so, okay. She's getting a little dice.
Let's check back in 2 weeks. So we were locked up with our five. I don't think I'm just putting it out there, bro. I don't think Traquan making the team. I don't.
It's possible. You think can we get anything for Traquan? Anything. A 2025 seventh round conditional pick.
Like, I think you get like a sixth or a seventh, bro. Can we just talk? I want to just quickly talk about bad draft picks and how
you much can't tell me New England look like Traquan, be like, yeah, I can do something with that.
Yes. One of the parting gifts that Ryan Pace did for the Bears was drafting Tevin Jenkins, an offensive tackle from Oklahoma State in the second round, 2021. And he drafted him. They had Charles Leno as a right tackle. Like, immediately cut Charles Leno like a month after they drafted Jenkins. I don't think Jenkins even played for them his rookie season because he had like some chronic back injury that was like highly known in college, and that's why he fell to the second round. Charles Leno went on sign with the Commanders. I think he's still with the Commanders. Pretty decent starting on right tackle. You know, a decent starter at tackle, which is a good thing to have. And now the Bears are fielding calls from teams around the league that want to trade for Tevin Jenkins?
What?
It all just goes to say, and I know sometimes we make jokes and talk about, you know, draft picks and blah, 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 blah. I get it. You know, it's because it's the easy thing to do. But something that Ryan and I say all the time is that it is humans picking fucking humans. And it is hard to get draft picks right, man. But to think that you drafted who you thought were gonna be like your left tackle. Sorry, he didn't Charles Leno wasn't a right tackle, he was left tackle, which is even worse. So you go from, you know, you think you draft your starting future left tackle in the second round. And now he's not going to probably – like, if they're already taking calls of teams trying to field offers, like, he's not making the 53, bro. Like, the team has already told you what they thought of him. Just wow, man. It's just absolutely
wow. Something else I want to mention. It's gone. I can't remember.
One quick thing I do want to mention is – It goes back to defense, and we'll close out of this.
Can we get the contract talk going for CeeDee Deuce, bro? Can we get him going?
Please.
Can we get them going?
That man up, man.
Can we? Like, he's had a stellar training camp. Like, it sounds like he's just being his great self. I know last training camp, like, oh, CeeDee keep getting cooked. CeeDee didn't get cooked. And he kind of had it, like, he had a slow start to the season, but like, yeah, about mid-season, towards the end of the season, he had completely came on. He's having an excellent, great training camp. Can we extend him? Can we extend him, please? I know Kenny Moore, like, they want to see what Kenny Moore and Indy gets and Bates contract and all that. Just extend him first. Like, why do you got to wait? Just extend him first, man. Please.
I agree, man. Like, just get it done, man. And got you a young stud secondary for years. You know?
Years,
man. That's something you don't got to worry about. You know, you can focus on other sides of the ball.
We'll say this about contract extensions. We kind of started the podcast with it. Talking about contract extensions. That March is that our extension looking. Oh no, bro.
He fighting for his life. I'm fighting for my life right now. Damn, for real, man. Like, and it's up to him, man. Like, if he, hey, dude come back and he does this season what he finished last season doing, he getting paid by somebody. Somebody gonna pay him. But man, if it's me, it's hard, bro. It's hard. I gotta think hard on writing that contract.
You know, when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind, you know, that picture, that meme of Kermit, bro, with the pen, he just just thinking, bro, just like,
secondly, do I want this?
You ever been in the moment of in the process of making a big ass purchase and like you doing all the paperwork and when it's time to sign, bro, you like,
oh yeah.
Shit, do I sign this shit?
Oh,
shit.
No, I've been there. Oh, I know I wanted to mention.
Come on.
Zach Bond, baby, Bonfire. Where you at? I saw him get cooked on one little pass. I'm like, man, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
I noted it that when Pete Warner was, you know, not practicing or whatever on the NFI list, the person that had replaced like Pete Warner and like next to DeMario was like Zach Bond. And I was just like, oh, okay. Sure.
What is going on, man? And I'm waiting on somebody. I think I watched all of Dennis Dallas' presses. Nobody's asking about him. Like, cause somebody asked thoughts on Zach Bond. Like, I don't know. I just want to hear something, man, because it's like, what are we doing? We saw that little picture of him sitting by himself.
Nigga, that's like the football. That's the football version of the Take Care album, bro.
It was the perfect picture because that's just how I feel about him, bro. Like, he is the outcast. I need him to have a game like he had against the Ravens in the preseason last year.
You know, I was just about to say, you know, we talked about Trevor Penning in the preseason. Man, Zach Bond, my eyes is going to be locked on 53, bro. I need him
to have a game like that, and then we just need to call every team, like, look. Look at this tape. What you want? You know, I take it. You know, give me a fifth.
Good.
A 2024 fifth. You know, like, I take it.
We're going along this episode. I know we are. We had a lot to catch up on. AK's court hearing, which was scheduled today, got continued 60 days because that's how the justice system works. Is the running back two still? Is there a running back two on the team? It seems like Abram Smith is having kind of like having more and more better practices and things like that. But I don't know, man. I just have this weird like thing about the backup running back position. It's uneven. Feels uneven.
You feel like it's uneven. Mark Ingram's been healthy. Looks good from what I've been hearing. Abram Smith looked like he's, you know, chomping at the bit, looking good, not looking bad preseason. That's the one player I really want to see.
Yes.
Because, you know, preseason for running backs, man, that's when they shine.
Shine, bro.
I really want to see him. Malcolm Brown's been looking good. So they got players. And the news about AK today was great. So we know at least 2 months from now he's good. You know what I'm saying? At least 2 months from now. So he's not getting suspended for at least for the next 2 months. So maybe 3 months.
October 1st.
Right. And I got a feeling it's going to be pushed back even more, you know. But I don't know, man. I feel like they just got to keep that door open. You know, don't shut the door. I don't think there's any player out there right now that they could bring in. You know, is Melvin Gordon still out there? It seems like, you know,
the Broncos resigned him.
So it's like, man, I guess just try to maximize what you got. But it does.
And it's hindsight, right? But, and I don't know what they were asking for or wanting in return. And plus, his contract probably would have made it prohibitive. But, man, a Saquon AK backfield would have been.
Ooh, man.
Spicy, bro.
So spicy.
Spicy. And this is coming from someone who, like, wasn't the hugest Saquon fan of the prospect. And I felt like even his best season in the NFL was a little overblown. But, like, you can't deny, like, the talent. And it seems like he's, like, if you just take a peek at, like, Giants, whatever, you know, training camp news, it seems like he's back, man. Seems like he is legitimately back, which I'm happy for. Like, we talked about it with Michael Thomas. It's the same thing, man. Like, injuries just fucking suck.
Oh, yeah.
But that would have been just a mwah, spicy ass backfield. But
and, you know, and AK's been looking great. The AK been looking good.
Good,
you know, because we forget, like, he missed 5 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he struggled with injuries. You know, he gave all he got, played well. But, you know, like I mentioned on this podcast, I don't know, episode or two ago, like, man, I want to see that 8K like that. I
want to see it, bro.
I want to see that offensive player of the year type, this best player on the field, any field he's on type. You know what I'm saying? I want to see that. So, man, we got to wrap him in bubble wrap. I don't want to see him in the preseason or nothing.
Not a single fucking healthy snap, bro. Not a single.
I don't need one snap. Love that Mark Ingram back, man. I watched the videos. Just him, you know, him and AK, man, they just got a good vibe. Like, I don't know what Mark Ingram getting paid, but if just have him there for the vibes, that's fine with me.
I agree, man. I agree. I mean, the vibes, but also break off like a run of 20, like 10, 20 yards here and there, please.
That'd be great.
It would be. All right, man. I think we covered it all. Think we hit on as much as we could. I know the show went a little long. I mean, it went about a normal time for us, but we hope y'all listening really enjoyed us catching you up on training camp. So today is Monday. We will try to be back. Let's give it to like Thursday. Thursday. To have another episode catching up on everything that's happened Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Friday. I don't know, because then everyone does looks on the weekends. We'll be back Thursday night. Do a quick one, get you caught up for Friday and the upcoming weekend. So we appreciate y'all supporting us. We really, really do. Season is fast approaching. We have a lot of big things planned. So become a Patreon, get in the Discord if you haven't. But I mean that's pretty much it. Anything else? Did I hit on everything? Feel like I think I hit it all.
Nah, we good, brother.
Good. All right. With that, we're gonna get out of here. We out.
Peace.